Welcome to New Zealand Vegan Podcast, episode 115. I'm your host, Elizabeth Collins. Just forgive the clicking sound that's through all of my podcasts, and especially since I got my replacement computer and I don't have Pro Tools anymore. The clicking is from the headphones being on my head, and when I talk, my jaw moves and it apparently makes this clicking noise. It happened right from the beginning of my podcasts, but I noticed I was able to kind of edit some of them out in Pro Tools, but I can't be bothered doing that in GarageBand because it's such a clumsy editor. So that's what that annoying clicking noise is, and I'm trying to put the headphones on different parts of my head so that they don't get whatever it happens, or maybe it's the cord that gets bumped, but either way, I apologize. So next thing I wanted to talk about before I got into what I was going to talk about today was there's heaps of great audio stuff out there for people. On Gary Francione's Facebook page, the Abolitionist Approach to Animal Rights Facebook page, a lot of people say that they don't like to read, they like to listen, and some people like to listen and don't like to read, and everybody's different, but a lot of people request that Gary Francione does audiobooks, or that he, you know, does stuff in audio. Well, I don't know if that's going to happen, at least not anytime soon. It's a huge amount of work to do an audiobook. But I will say that every week on a radio show that is also a podcast, it's broadcast once a week in America, and it's Bob Linden Go Vegan Radio. And anyway, every single week for the last few months, actually, Gary Francione has had a segment on there, and he talks. So if you want to hear, and it's obviously not his entire book in one reading, but it's definitely audio of his ideas and things like that. And because the radio show is actually, it's not just a podcast like mine where I just can make the rules, it has breaks and it has to have advertisements and all that kind of stuff. It's pretty succinct, and they generally, Gary's segment comes on near the end of the show, and there's different topics, usually hot topics, but it's always, I mean, generally, because the situation between welfare and abolition remains the same and always will be as long as there is welfare, and the situation of animal exploitation remains the same. So it's basically condensed, concentrated ideas of Gary Francione's philosophy. So I really recommend checking that out if you're into listening. If you can't listen to the show live, you can just go to the archive like I do, which is on goveganradio.com. And you just, I'm pretty sure it's .com, I'll have a look, I'll post a link. And you can just, find the archive of the show. It's usually uploaded within a week or two of the broadcast. And like I said, Gary Francione's segment is usually near the end. And it's different topics every week. A lot of times it's hot button topics that are being discussed on the Abolitionist Approach page whenever there's something new going on that is relevant, and there's always something new going on that's relevant. Another new audio thing that's come out is a very exciting one by TAVS, the Abolitionist Vegan Society. Sarah K. Woodcock, the founder of the Abolitionist Vegan Society and the director, so she's basically doing all this stuff, and she's come up with so much wonderful stuff. And the latest thing is a series of interviews, and they are available at the moment on the YouTube channel. So if you go to YouTube and you go to the Abolitionist Vegan Society on YouTube, you can listen to the interviews there. You can just listen to the audio. And there are, I think, MP3s are going to be made available on the site. I'm not quite sure. And hopefully it's going to be a series, kind of a regular podcast, I believe. Hopefully it will be available on iTunes as well. But as of yet, it's on the it's on the Abolitionist Vegan Society YouTube page. I was interviewed on there, and I basically say the same thing that I always say. I was interviewed on episode one, and so there I'll post a link to that. And then the second episode is an interview with Jameson Scala. Jameson's an advocate in New York City, and he's amazing. And you have to listen to his interview because he just gives insight on how he does things. He's a real inspiration to me because he is someone who does vegan advocacy all day, every day, when he's out and about to complete strangers without having a table or anything formal like that. And this is something I'm trying to emulate, and it's not I'm not good at that. I like to have my table and I set the stage and it's less risky, you know. And but anyway, he talks about, because I was kind of in awe of what he was doing just in terms of the sheer volume of it. It was basically like when Gary Francione manages to do it, he's at the supermarket, he's anywhere, and he at the vet office, you know, all these opportunities, he does it. Opportunities for talking about veganism come up all the time. I'm not saying they don't, and they definitely can be instigated, and I'm always like, I'm vegan, this and that. But what I'm talking about these guys is not only do they just like announce it and then just kind of, but they like advocate. So Jameson will give people leaflets, but he will have a conversation and he posts photos of them. So not only does he get them to listen to him, to listen to his arguments, to take a leaflet, and then he gets them to happily pose for a photo. So he really is planting seeds and fertilizing them and watering them before he walks away. I'm just kind of scattering them and hoping that they take root, you know. So listen to Jameson's interview. He's very engaging. And also he talks about his own insecurities and things. I mean, he's a human being and he knows what it's like to have, you know, a little bit of fear or whatever to approach people. And that kind of comforted me to hear him be honest about that and say, you know, hey, he says, hey, sometimes I get embarrassed or sometimes I, you know, feel trepidation, but he just goes his and does it. So check that out. And there'll be an interview with Bubs, who's the other half of Tavs New Zealand. And we're just waiting for that interview to happen so we can post it. So me and Bubs represented Tavs New Zealand and Jameson's represents Jameson, Tavs New York, pretty much, I think. He's not an official chapter or anything, but he's definitely doing abolitionist vegan advocacy there. And there will be more interviews to come with other chapter members and all these kinds of things. So definitely keep an eye out for that. Hopefully it's going to be a regular podcast, and I would love to be. I'm going to try to get on there again, and because I love talking to Sarah. Okay, so that's some new audio stuff for you. And right, so today this was an episode that I've been planning to do. I was supposed to have done it a month ago, but as usual, I am late. But I really wanted to talk about it, and it kind of relates a little bit to what I was talking about in Sarah's when I was interviewed by Sarah Woodcock and the Tavs audio podcast. We talked about how I suggested, and I've suggested this in a YouTube video as well, I think, or was it in the podcast? I get so confused. Basically, that you can set your own boundaries, and when you do a table like what I do, and you have the word vegan everywhere, which is something I decided to do in the beginning. I didn't have the word vegan as much. I had abolitionist, I had animal rights, I had pictures of animals, I had vegan information on the table, but I didn't have like a sign. So people would come over and say, what is this about? And one of the reasons that I have vegan everywhere is, one thing, I want that word out there. And number two, it's because then it's really clear and people come over who are interested in veganism. So most of the time, what you're getting is interest. You're not just getting people who are there to, you know, who are just like, what's going on? And then, like, in other words, anyone who really doesn't care at that moment in time, or they just don't want to talk about it with you at that moment in time, they'll just walk past, because the second they look at your table, they see it's about veganism. If they're not interested, they keep walking. The people who are interested come over. So most of the time, you have really, really positive interactions. And you do get people who come over who see the word vegan and see animal rights, and they want to challenge it, and they want to promote their point of view, which is that, you know, their speciesism, really. And sometimes you have some challenging conversations. That happens rarely. But what I suggested on the interview with Sarah is that you can set the stage and you can be there. If you're a person who really doesn't like to argue, just have the vegan information, make it really clear it's about veganism, and then you welcome all the people who really, they're there because they want to learn about veganism, they want help, they want to discuss it, they've been thinking about it, they need advice, they're confused, they want to know what it's about, and you can do that with them. And then if somebody comes over and wants to argue with you, you can literally say, and you have every right to do this, you can say, you know, I'm not actually here to have a debate, the truth to be told, I'm here for just to give information to people who want to go vegan, that's my role, that's what I'm doing here today. So I don't really want to argue with you about it. If you don't mind, that's not what I'm here for. And that's way better than maybe compromising or saying, oh, yes, it's fine. I don't, you know, because what people want you to do is make them feel better. Most of the time when people come over, they want you to absolve them. It's really weird, but that's really true. And so anyway, that's a suggestion for people. Just do your vegan education for that, and you don't have to debate. I do debate, because I am a I just can't shut up, basically. I mean, I'm not like Jameson and Gary Francione, who can just, and other people who as well. There are other people who just like can really go up to strangers and really get a conversation going. That's really, and I don't think I'm as good at dealing. I mean, to be honest, I don't think I'm as good emotionally at dealing with a non-vegan defense of, you know, speciesist rhetoric and stuff as some people are. I really don't think I am. It's not my strong point, but I still can't be quiet, and I still try to be a voice. I try to be a non-violent voice, a non-insulting. I try not to use, you know, any kind of ad hominems or anything like that. I try to stay calm and everything like that, but I can't. If somebody says something to me that's really speciesist and they're justifying and they're saying, "Hey, I don't see anything wrong with doing this," I just can't not say anything about that. But that's me. But if I'm, sometimes I probably do want to say, I should probably say to them, you know, I really don't. I'm not going to argue with it. If that's the way that you feel about it, I completely disagree. But I'm really interested in talking to people who want to go vegan, and there are lots of them. In fact, I just did that today on Gary Francione's Facebook page. There's somebody on there defending animal use. He's going on and on about how plants are sentient, and he's saying you have to eat animals, and he's trying to do all this stuff. He's not interested in learning about veganism. He's interested in justifying animal use. And so I just said, you know, I'm really mostly interested in people who care enough, who to admit to themselves that they care, because he probably does care, but his way of dealing with it is to be defensive and to try to justify animal use so that he can feel better about it. So what am I going to talk about today? I think this is really, really important, and I don't know if I've actually talked about it before. I might have obliquely, or I might have definitely. I've lost track of what I've talked about in my podcast, and I don't listen to my old episodes anymore. Well, I don't really listen to them at all, I should say, once they're done. But what I want to talk about today is apart from the fact that if you're a person who really doesn't like to get into any kind of debate or arguing or confrontation in any way with people, that you can set those rules as your vegan advocacy, you can set those rules. And people will respect that. They will, okay. They're gonna have to, and especially in face-to-face advocacy, and you can do it online too. But what I want to talk about today is this big backlash that the abolitionist movement gets and has gotten from the beginning, but it's really taken root from the welfarist movement, which is that we're somehow coming across, or people, they're worried. They're worried about us coming across as like angry or preachy or self-righteous or religious or fanatical or extremist, fundamentalist, blah blah blah, all of these same things, because we refuse to compromise and we refuse to endorse anything less than veganism, and our bottom line is veganism. And they're getting it twisted because we're not. So what happens is a lot of. I'm going to try to be coherent. So here's a quote that is going to be the theme of this podcast today. And this was something that Gary Francione said in response to someone on his Facebook page who was asking advice. This was a fellow vegan who was promoting veganism, and the commentator said to Gary Francione on the thread, they said this. They said, "I was overwhelmed by all the quote angry vegan unquote personal attacks this week, and I wanted to be seen as nicer by encouraging this, which did not prove to be effective and went against my conscience anyway." Now, what the commentator was talking about was that she was so sick of people turning around and attacking her. And she wasn't being rude or anything. She was just saying this is a moral issue, all these kinds of things. And then the people were turning around and making it personal, so that she compromised the moral message. She regrets it now, as she said in that post. And she or he, I can't remember if it was a male or female. I just made a post of this. Hold on, let me have a look. Sorry, I'm disorganized as usual. The commentator, I'm not going to say any words or anything, but it's just an idea. Oh, I think she talked to him about factory farming and said, "Okay, so just go factory farming free," and that was her compromise. And she said lots of people still fought against that as well, which is very telling, aren't they? They were like, when she said to them, okay, fine, I'm not going to promote veganism right now, this moment, I'm telling you to not go eat factory farmed, whatever that means. And they were still giving excuses and they were still saying they couldn't do it. And so her comment to Gary was that, you know, I did it because I was overwhelmed by these people saying I was this angry person. And she wasn't. She was just making a point. And that's why she wanted to be seen as, quote, nicer, unquote, because when the people attack you personally, it gets to your core as a human being, which is why ostracization is used by some tribes to punish people, and it's a punishment worse than death or equal to death. It's a very, very powerful thing to have happen to you when people attack you personally and ostracize you and do that to you. That's just why people do it. That's why they do it. So Gary Francione's response was beautiful. And this is what he said in response to this woman who had said that she was so sick of being attacked personally and being told by people that she was horrible and angry, that she compromised the morals and she'll never do that again. He said, "To believe in a principle of justice and promote that principle clearly is not to be, quote, angry, unquote. That term is simply a way of putting the principle down by not focusing on the substance and instead focusing on the person articulating the principle. People always, quote, like, unquote, people who don't challenge them. But in the world in which you and I live, challenging others is what morality requires. It's not optional." So that's very true. I hope that resonates with you as much as it resonates with me. So I just want to reassure everyone who has been, because the minute you stop compromising the morality, you will have your personality come under scrutiny by welfarist vegans and by non-vegans, because the bottom line is the truth resonates with something. It is a very powerful thing. The truth doesn't care whether you like it or not. The truth is what it is. It is the truth. Now, obviously, there are people who don't recognize it or they say it's a lie or whatever, but what we're talking about, these basic truths that we're discussing, we often present facts. They sound sensationalized and melodramatic, but they're not. They're very real. It is literally billions and actually trillions per year of sentient individuals who are being slaughtered and all these other indignities and exploitation and horrific things happening to them before they get slaughtered. Okay, that is not a sensationalist, over-the-top statement. That's a reality. They are being tortured. They are literally being physically and mentally tortured. That is not some kind of hyperbole. Okay, these are facts. We have to stick to the facts. The facts are that billions, trillions of sentient beings are being slaughtered and exploited. The fact is that all animal products cause this exploitation and slaughter. There's no such thing as humane farming, etc., etc. The fact is that making people feel better about doing so is the wrong thing to do. That's the fundamental premise of the major debate between welfarists and abolitionists. It is the wrong thing to do. It's going to make them like you. They're going to think you're nicer. And if that's what floats your boat and that's all you care about, I shouldn't say that. That sounds mean. If it is very important for you to be liked, then just please take the advice that I gave, please, if you value anything that I say, which you might not, but if you do, if that's really important to you, and I understand, like I said, I shouldn't be sarcastic because I know what ostracization and all these are very powerful human social tools. They're used as weapons. They're used as ways to punish people. They're used as ways to break people down. They're used as ways to make people weak and to lose their resolve. It works. So if that kind of stuff is going to really, because not everybody's as strong a personality as another person. Not everybody has those strengths of character. It's not a defect to not have that. It's just different people. I get hurt. I do. I get hurt. You know, we all do. So if that is something that is going to affect your advocacy to the point where in order to be nicer, you're going to want to try to make them feel better, which will only mean compromising the moral message. I'm sorry, but that's what it means. And I'll give some examples. Then please take my advice and do what I say and just do vegan education in a way in which you say, this is what I'm here. I'm for those people who want to come over. And believe me, you're not going to stand there all day listening to crickets. You're going to have people coming over because I'm telling you, people are interested. And even if, say, you set up a table and you're in a certain part of the world or a certain part of a country in a certain part of the world where wherever it's just not that common yet, or it's really alien, or it's still really burgeoning, or it's still really new, even if you get one person, it's worth your time. And you know, it's a nice thing to do, and take books and take food to eat and go with a friend and enjoy being out in the middle of the day and, you know, stuff like that. If you can do that kind of thing, even if you're leafleting, you can just, it's for people who want to go vegan. So you can just have a little sign saying vegan information, and people who want vegan information will come and get it. And, those who don't will walk past you. And, a lot of times people are really busy, and they're too busy to stop and talk anyway. But I've had people who've stopped and talked, and they're like, finally, you know, I've seen you here for months and I've never had a chance to come because I'm always busy on this day that you're here, but I finally got a few moments and I've been dying to come over and talk to you. That's happened to me before. So that's the problem, you see. The problem is this this situation. And I want to give an example, because, well, I mean, I could even give a million examples from Safe's homepage. Safe is this New Zealand animal welfare organization. They have a Facebook page. They're very concerned with having people like them because they rely on donations. And if you rely on donations, the last thing that you can deal with is people unliking you, because then they will stop donating to you. So they're always compromising. It was the example I was going to give, and I kind of, I don't know if I really should. Let me have a look. Let me go on the Safe. Sorry, I should already have these examples ready. Okay, so I went on the Safe page and I found some examples of what I'm talking about. One of the campaigns that they're doing is a cage-free egg campaign. It's all part of what they've called the Stop Factory Farming campaign. And so it's what they're doing is they're perpetuating the notion that, first of all, there's such a thing as non-factory farming or cage-free eggs or cage-free pork and all these kinds of things. Or that, and they're especially perpetuating the notion that there's like this whole happy backyard situation. But they just neglect to mention that they are all sent to the same slaughterhouse. So there's a photo here, and I'll post it. It was posted on Safe, when was it, on the 30th of January. So I went back a while. I've got a few examples. So they're saying that they want warning labels on egg cartons to say that it came from a factory-farmed egg. This was a photo. And some of the comments are, this is exactly why I will only eat the eggs my neighbor's chickens have, which I feed daily. They are loved, respected, and have the freedom to run around after my lunch and dinner peeling scraps. So I don't know if this person is even, considers, there are a lot of people who call themselves vegan who eat backyard eggs, and they're obviously not vegan, but this woman basically, we don't know what else, or this person doesn't know what else, what they do, but they are very convinced that you can have chickens and use them as commodities and take their eggs. And she doesn't probably know that all backyard hens had to come from somewhere. And if they didn't come from a hatchery where they were, all the males were killed at birth, then they would have been hatched in a backyard, sort of smaller scale hatchery where all the males are killed as well. Ask yourself, where are the roosters when you talk to someone who has backyard hens? And they'll know, we hatch our own eggs. We have one rooster who, you know, we breed our own again. They don't come from a hatchery. They're our own bred. And say, well, where are all the roosters? What do you do with all the males? Because they all get killed. You can't keep roosters. One thing, you can't keep them in suburban environments because they're noisy. They crow at dawn. So it's illegal in a lot of places. And another thing is they fight. Roosters fight over possession of the female. So if you have a whole bunch of roosters together and any hens anywhere near them, they will all fight. Now, I'm not an expert on chickens and roosters, and, you know, these are things that I'm getting from people who have had backyard operations that have come to my store. One of the guys who wasn't vegan, who was speaking out against veganism, I said to him, where are all the roosters? And he said, oh, yeah, you're right, they're in the pot. okay, then that means they're getting eaten. So here's another comment on this safe posting that doesn't mention veganism and just talks about how they should label battery eggs. It says, I think most of us know that most of the countries, our country's pork and chicken is raised questionably. I'm just paraphrasing. That's why we have the freedom to choose whether to purchase or find organic and or free range. Our beef is in some of the best in the world. It might not be organic and it's grass fed and they're, you know, I blah, blah, blah. And another comment. So these are people who are, do you see what I mean? And there's another photo that said there's 10 individual. They showed a photo of farm animals that they're saying that, and it's all part of their non-factory farming. And they're like saying farm animals are, they're unique individuals with distinct personalities, sensitive, intelligent. They say if only they were held in the same regard as cats and dogs. This is what Safe's posting said. Well, if you know what happens to the majority of cats and dogs, just go and visit your local shelter and then visit it the next day and then the next day and see how many of the faces that you saw those 3 or 4 days before are still there. Cats and dogs are property and they are slaughtered as well. But obviously we do hold them in a different place, and lots of people do elevate them to members of families. But what I'm just saying is that it's just not clear. And it says, find out how you can make a difference at stopfactoryfarming.org. And then the comments, one of the comments is, makes me want to own a wee farm and would be awesome owning a small pet farm. These are the kind of comments you're never going to see on an abolitionist posting, because there's just nowhere for people to go, nowhere for people to say, oh, that's why I only buy free range, or that, you know, things like that. And if they do, we go on, like on these comments here where the person says, that's why I only buy free range or something like that. The Safe moderators don't go on there and say, you know what, there's no difference or anything like that. You know, they're not doing that kind of thing because they're making people feel better. This was a video that they posted about a factory farmed pig. It's all about factory farming. This is a major issue. I mean, that's a whole nother podcast. And you see some of the comments. This is why I only buy free range. One of the many reasons I'm a vegetarian, because this video was about pigs. Obviously, vegetarians still contribute to horrific slaughter and torture of animals. Another one said, we raise our own and bacon tastes way better than store-bought. They say, another comment, we have 2 young kids and only eat free range. We are educating them as to why. These are all comments on this one thing. The good news is that compared to a couple of years ago, so the Safe moderators are doing nothing to address the Safe page people. If there are, I don't know how many there are, they're doing nothing to address these comments that are saying, that's why I only buy free range or anything like that. Because why would they? They want the donations, right? And this is a factory farming campaign. So they're promoting basically free range. They'll deny it, but that's inherently what they're doing. They're making people feel better about buying free range. That's not helping. Although some people genuinely think it is, because they genuinely think that animals have less of moral value and that treatment is what matters, and that the fact that they're slaughtered isn't the point, it's just how we treat them. So there are some people who buy into that. One of the cool things I've noticed on the Safe page, I hardly ever go on there because I just get so depressed when I go on there, but one of the things I have noticed is that while the moderators or the Safe admin or whatever, the Safe page itself is not doing anything to address these myths and misconceptions about free range and stuff, there are other people who are going on there and doing so. So I've seen on a few comments, a few names of people saying, go vegan, you know, this, none of it's right, go vegan, even free range is bad, go vegan, and it's other vegans doing that now and speaking out on the Safe page, which just seems to be happening a bit more, I'm hoping. Like I said, I don't go on there very often, but it's nice. So this was another one that says, I'm making a stand to stop factory farming, because this is their campaign, and so one of the comments on here was, where is it? What was the farming? Oh, right. Factory farming is inhumane, to say the least. Go free range. And then somebody talks about, didn't I hear there are more intensive factory dairy farms planned? Oh, yes, I heard that. And maybe we could do something about the factory farms where we are. And then somebody, bless their heart, says, all farming involves sentient beings being treated properly and slaughtered. It's all inhumane. Go vegan. And I love that. But the most of the other comments aren't saying that. So that's just some examples of it. My Facebook has just frozen, so I just found a few of those. So the big factory farming campaign from Safe is, oh, that's a whole nother podcast. That's kind of making people, so yeah, they're doing nothing to they're making people feel better about continuing to consume animals. I know that doesn't sound like they are, because they're saying this is really bad, but they're only saying that the treatment is really bad. And so you've got all these people saying, well, I've got the backyard hens and I've got the free range and blah blah blah. There was another example that I was going to give, and there are other, that's just an example of like welfarism, and that was like really minimal. Like if you go on some of Safe's campaigns, and you just sort of see, it's just, it's all very tricky. They've become really political about it, and they're very careful now because of the outcry from abolitionists. I do believe they're actually paying attention to it. I've noticed a change in their rhetoric. But there are other things happening. It's not just the welfareists. It's like other vegans who are just bloggers and things writing posts that they want everybody, you know, they it's this misguided thing about how we are doing something wrong because we're taking a stand, and we're supposedly coming across as really rude and horrible, because we just say basic facts and we're just standing up for the non-humans and we're just trying to tell people the truth and try to bust through this lies. So the example I'm going to give now is from this new page that's about, it's called Esther the Wonder Pig, and the people who have this pig apparently bought, I don't know much about them, but they apparently bought a pig as a pet, but it was a mistake or something, and they accidentally got this kind of pig who was not sold as pets normally, the kind of pig who was normally raised as food, and she grew very, very, very big, very, very fast, and she's an enormous pig, and she lives in their home. And they discovered that, they realized that this was not a pet pig, a commercially sort of bred pet pig, this was a commercially bred pig that people normally eat. And they have fallen in love with her, and she's part of their home. And they say that they went vegan. Now, when anyone says they go vegan, I take it with a grain of salt. I'm assuming they eat a vegan diet. I have seen a couple of photos. I don't go on this page very much, but I've seen a couple of photos of a giant leather couch. And apparently someone made a comment and they said, yes, we know, but we can't afford another couch or something like that. I don't really know their full... whether or not, one thing I will say is they're new vegans, and I know when I was a new vegan, I had some learning to do, so we have to take that. But this is what, they wrote a posting on their page saying, you know, becoming vegan may not be for everyone, or it may take you some time to adjust, and that's fine. We all need to do what's right for us, so please don't let anyone tell you otherwise. At the very least, please be aware of where your meat is coming from. This is what the Esther the Wonder Pig parents, her caregivers, wrote on their Facebook page. They said we don't say there are any humane alternatives, because let's be honest, there's nothing humane about slaughtering an animal, nothing. That said, there can be less cruel alternatives. There are smaller farms whose animals do get to live a reasonable life until their time comes. And then they talk about the price of meat and how you can, if it's really cheap, then it's come from a factory farm, and you might have to pay a couple of dollars more for these less cruel farms. Yeah, they say, consider watching Earthlings or Veggiecated if you're going to eat meat. You should at least try to show respect for the animal, know where it came from and what it went through before arriving on your plate. Nobody on this page has the right to judge anyone else, but we do want to raise awareness. Now, deep breath, Elizabeth. They're new vegans. They have a lot of attention. They their heart is in the right place. They said that the reason that they wrote this post is because one of their followers on the page disclosed to them that she said, "I'm giving up pork because of Esther," and then she was supposedly, quote, attacked for still eating chicken. I doubt very much she was attacked. Okay, I want to talk about judgment as well. I'm going to read another blog from another blog post. So let me just say, there was absolutely no need for these people to do this. Okay, it is really shocking. They live with a sentient being who they have come to know intimately and love. They know her. The fact that they can use her page to go on here and say, you know, this terrible condemnation of her fellow beings, supposedly in the name of being kind to others, because that's what this supposed to was being about, and also in the misguided name that we, you know, we're going to close people off and we're turning people away and all these kinds of things. So there was, let me tell you, there was 673 shares. So 670 people shared this. I imagine most of them were not vegan. They were just made to feel better about not being vegan. Thank you. On behalf of, on the page of an individual. I mean, have you ever seen pig slaughter? Anyway, okay, I need to calm down. So then, of course, there's all these shares. And then there was, how many comments were there? There was like, God, something like 717 comments. Okay. And the vast majority of them are like, oh, thank you so much. Vegans are some militant, blah, blah, blah. And just all these people saying, oh, thank you so much for making me feel better. Thank you so much. One person very respectfully said, am I the only one disappointed with this post? I am all about people transitioning to the forever choice of veganism at their own pace. Whether she's all about it or not, we kind of have no choice, really, do we? So we have to know that people transition to veganism at their own pace. They are going to do what they are going to do, right? We already know this. She continues, but I think it's insulting to Esther and every other animal at risk of being slaughtered to suggest that veganism isn't for everyone. Small farms still tail dock without use of pain relief, use gestation and farrowing crates, etc. This is not humane or kind or preferable. Now, I do not think that that came across as angry or strident or screaming or screeching or anything, but some people apparently do. Of course, there are pig farmers on here who are jumping all over this saying, my brother, or friends of my brother raises pigs and he doesn't do any of those things. Don't paint with such a broad brush. So they're talking about treatment. That's where talking about treatment can get tricky, because we don't talk about treatment. Oh my God, this is going to be a long podcast. I'm really sorry. So there were so many people. So people got upset with that poster who said that quite respectful and honest thing. Some people did say they were disappointed. I mean, don't get me wrong, there was a lot of people on the thread saying, hang on a minute, what are you doing? It's like, what are you doing to Esther and all of her friends? Why are you doing this? Why? They didn't need to do this. You know? It was the wrong thing to do it. So somebody's like, I'm outraged. From some of the comments, isn't this a site for showing compassion? This is somebody who was upset for people for saying this post is bad. Like, why are you doing this? Like, this is not a good post. And then these people are like, how can you, this is supposed to be about compassion. And then there's people who are talking about they're going Meat Free Monday the page moderators, unlike the safe moderators, come on here and they have responded to a couple of people who have expressed shock and outrage for what they did. And they've said that they're saying that some people take more time and need support and encouragement. Well, nobody's ever said that they don't. And we always know that people take time. But it says not to be told they're not doing enough. Well, I'm really sorry, but if you're still eating the bodies of esters, you're not doing enough, are you? We are obligated to tell the truth. They are not doing enough. You should know that. You've got one of those beings in your home. You've seen her eyes. Picture her in that truck. Picture her on the killing line. Would it have been enough if she was one of the ones who had a little happy little life on the grass? But then follow her to the slaughterhouse. So this is the problem, you see. It's this misguided... it's this misguided thing. So, like I say, I know they're new and they've got a lot of followers and they're very popular and blah, blah, blah. And this is, but it's so unnecessary to do this. Oh, gosh. So, anyway, this was really, just go, I'll post a link to the thread. And I really want to say again that I know that they think they're doing the right thing. I disagree with this post. I have gone on their page before and I love the photos of the pigs. She's of the pig Esther. She's amazing. You know, they have honestly said that they've gone vegan. Like I said, they're new, so they might have a bit to learn about what that actually really means, especially given all the misinformation there is out there, especially by some so-called vegans. But anyway, they're doing this and all this, and I'm giving them that credit. As you can see, I'm encouraging and supporting where applicable. But I am not going to support this. Now, the rest of the page isn't like this. It's mostly just pictures of her, showing her personality, showing her personhood, da-da-da-da. And I definitely think that I'm sad because I'm scared that they're going to capitalize off of her. But I don't have no other judgment of their motives or anything like that. But this post is a prime example of what I'm talking about. Prime example. You can read some of the comments. There are some people who say, this page has started me to think about going vegetarian. They haven't started thinking about vegan. Here's a comment from Chris Palmieri. I see him a lot on the abolitionist page. I don't know, he won't mind me mentioning his name. I hope you don't mind, Chris. Chris said, sorry guys, but I have to disagree. If people want to do less than go vegan, that's their choice. But we don't have to compromise the message that veganism is the moral baseline. Being vegan can work for anybody, and ultimately, quote, less cruel, unquote, is still cruel. As you said, there is no humane way to exploit someone for their something, slaughter them. I think that was a typo. But anyway, if you truly respect animals, go vegan. Now tell me that was not a respectful comment. And then I look at some of the replies, it's like, called the preaching, are you happy to chase newcomers away as long as you have your say? This comment belongs to other pages. These people have every right to, sorry, I shouldn't be mocking, I just get upset. This is why, like I said in the beginning, I have trouble controlling my emotions and I need to do my podcast more regularly so I can get it all out and then I can go out in the streets and be calm. There are a couple of people who liked Chris' comments, but I think a lot of people didn't like Chris. I think Chris' comment was very, see, he's just stating a fact. Less cruel is still cruel. There's a fact, you know. And he said, sorry, but I have to disagree. If you truly respect animals, go vegan. But anyway, a lot of these comments or people are, there are people who are going vegan and all those kinds of things. It's just unnecessary. You don't need to do this. They didn't need to do this. I don't know why they did that. Why did they do that? I don't know. I hope they're doubting why they did it. I hope that one day I hope they never do anything like this again, because there's no need to. If you don't want to be an outspoken advocate against injustice and deal with all this flack that you're going to get, because you're going to get it, then you don't have to. You can have your page showing all the beautiful things, putting vegan recipes. You don't have to say go vegan if you don't want to. Just have vegan recipes, vegan information. The message will get there, and just have the pages and things. They had no need no need to do this. And there's other ones out there. There's some articles. My Face is on Fire is a Facebook page that does a really good job of exposing. The Facebook page is from the blog. My Face is on Fire, and there's all kinds of. She'll jump on them. There's like articles written by people who are vegan who make other people feel better. They were about not being vegan. There was one a while ago about an athlete who basically posted like his 10 steps about making. There's a lot of it going on. I'll post a few articles when you go onto the blogspot. Please go and read. I'm not going to say anymore because this podcast will end up being 3 hours long. But here we go. I just found it. Look at this. Here's one that she wrote, and this is a quote, and I'll post a link to the article. Somebody said, this is what she was, Mylène Ouellette, the Facebook, My Face is on Fire, was commenting, a quote from this article making people feel better. My brand of veganism is one wherein if your grandparents have no idea what you're talking about, then you eat their beef stew rather than get upset or confuse them. Or if you really want to have a cake and eat it, if you really want to have a cake with an egg in it on the holidays, then you have that rather than just not being a vegan because you don't want to occasionally give up having something that you love or something like this. And the title is basically called Dogmatic A-Hole Vegans. There wasn't a lot of comments, yeah. Anyway, she does all that. So there's lots of this stuff. And let me just go back to my, let me get back on track. So yesterday at my street stall, I did the stall yesterday, me and Bubs, Tavs New Zealand, we did the Tavs Challenge, as I've mentioned before, which is an everyday thing. And it's just about sort of getting out there and doing vegan advocacy in the way that you're comfortable with. You've got the literature available. And I love the fact that I've been meeting lots of Spanish speakers and practicing my Spanish. And I gave away Spanish leaflets yesterday because the Tavs leaflets are now available in Spanish. And they are also available in French. And of course, the Abolitionist Approach to Animal Rights leaflets are available in Spanish, French, and a few other languages, and I gave away Spanish Abolitionist Approach leaflets and Spanish Tavs leaflets to these really interested family. It was so great. They were really interested, and the cool thing that she said was that her kids are, I believe they're from Mexico, and the kids, her younger children, she has like about 5 children, and I think even the older girl as well, who was smiling and nodding, they're all saying to her all of a sudden, because like, I'm not going to drink milk anymore. I don't want eggs. I'm not eating that stuff anymore. And so it's like her kids are saying to her, no, we're not doing that anymore. And so she's like, oh my gosh, what do I do? And I think that's a pretty cool indication because that's the vegan future. That's our vegan generation. Hey, I think that, you know, we've got Generation X and we've got Generation Y and da da da. I know there's going to be a generation vegan, and that's where it's going to change, girls and boys. That's going to be the future. The vegan generation, and I think they're already happening, you know. So what happened yesterday was one of the first persons who came past the stall kind of I thought she was going to set the tone for the day, and I was thinking, oh great, this isn't going to be a good day, which I shouldn't think, I should project positivity. But she said, I'm vegetarian, my partner's vegan, and she said, what do you think about, you know, more humane slaughter? And I said, she said, more humane treatment, da da da. And I said, well, do you go with them to the slaughterhouse? And I was flabbergasted and speechless because she literally said what I didn't expect her to say. You know how you ask a question and you think you already know the answer? Don't ever do that, because you might not. And she said, oh yes, we've been to them. They have these in the UK, which is where she's from, they have these Temple Grandin, they took us a tour in a Temple Grandin slaughterhouse, and it was so much better. And I just thought, wow. So I started to talk to her about, because she was vegetarian, and I was trying to talk to her about how there's no difference. I said, do you know what happens to the cows and their calves? And she said, oh yes, but, and that's where she started talking about the supposed humane slaughter. And I tried to explain to her that they're still slaughtered, and she said, yeah, but it's better. Don't you think it's better? And I was thinking, thanks a lot, animal welfare movement. And what she wanted to do, what she wanted me to do, unfortunately the conversation got cut off, or should I say fortunately, because God, I mean, do I really want to be dealing with that? She had to run off, but she was wanting me to make her feel better about it. She wanted me to say, yeah, that's true, you know, it is better. You can do it in a better way. It is better. It might be better. And I actually even used the famous mattresses in the concentration camps analogy. from Gary Francione's debate with Eric Marcos, because I don't often use Holocaust analogies. In fact, I don't think I've... It's so funny because I had a conversation with some friends online the other day and I was like, I never have ever had to. But in this case, this woman who like went to a slaughterhouse and was like telling me it was better than these other slaughterhouses. And I was like, but they're still slaughtered. So I said, you know what, let me give you an example. And I always, whenever I use any of these things, I always add a disclaimer. I'm like, remember, I don't see any moral difference between, in terms of the right not to be killed. So I'm using this analogy as someone who thinks that that these things are totally equal. I'm not saying that you do not think the Holocaust is, you know, whatever, an abomination. I'm just using it as a way to make a comparison. And I said, okay, say you have a concentration camp here on the right, and then you have a concentration camp here on the left, and the one on the left has mattresses. Is that better? Yes, it is. And then she said, yes, but... And then the last thing she said to me was, she's like, yeah, but... don't you think it's better for people to make small steps rather than do nothing? And I was thinking, oh my God, what is this woman, a spokesperson for every single welfarist argument that we've ever had on Gary Francione's Facebook page and on my page? But then she's like, and I said, and I started to respond, and then she's like, oh no, I have to go. Sorry, I have to go. And she left. But that was, to me, was like a prime example of somebody wanting me to make them feel better. Another thing I wanted to, so don't do it. Don't make them feel better. We want people to feel bad about using animals. We don't want to make them feel better. And that's not because of some misanthropic, you know, desire to hurt human beings, which is what people seem to think, especially these other vegans who are telling us to not speak the truth, or to be compassionate or to be nice or to be, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you look at the abolitionist comments and you look at them objectively, they are most of the time, especially because we're so used to these massive knee-jerk reactions, that we're very careful to try not to put any emotive content in our comments. I mean, it fails me often, especially with welfarists, but, you know, we just say basic things and we're still like, people jump on us. But most of the time, there's just very civil, factual, rational, logical, calm responses. And then we get all the emotive ones in response, talking about our delivery and our personality and da da da, like all the things that Gary's Francione said in the beginning. So yes, we have to, we don't want to make people feel better, and it's not because we're misanthropes. It's not because we want to hurt people. It's because it's not good to hurt animals, and we want to wake people up. And so this goes back to those things where they were in the Esther the Wonder Pig one, where they were like, we don't want to judge people. You know, we don't want to judge. Judge people. And this is something that's really important, and of course, as usual, Gary Francione says it the best. He wrote an article about it, because it comes up a lot. Like I said, it comes up a lot. We get this a lot. And it's really hard to articulate it, because you're going against this deep-seated human society fear of ostracization, and people hate that, man. And I do understand that. There is actually literally a death sentence in some tribes that are isolated, in which ostracization equals death. They don't deprive them of food, they don't deprive them of water, but they deprive them of society, and the people shrivel up and die. So, here we go, Gary Francione's article, which was titled Making a Mockery of Gandhi. And he says, we should not, so I'm going to quote from the beginning of the article. In the 5th century, St. Augustine wrote the phrase, cum dilectione hominum et odio vitiorum, that's Latin, I guess, and I probably pronounced it wrong, which means with love for mankind and hatred of sins. This became popularized by Gandhi as hate the sin, love the sinner. This is good advice. We should not judge another person because we can't really see into his or her heart. Or her or his heart. I love how Gary Francione always makes females the best to try to combat, and females the first to try to combat patriarchy. So he says we should not judge another person because we can't really see into her or his heart. But we can judge conduct as right or wrong. And when conduct involves imposing suffering and death on others, we not only should judge that conduct, we must judge it. That is what it means to take morality seriously. See how important this is? I hope this is coming across. Oh, I hope this is coming across. Okay, applying this to the animal context, we can say, for example, that we are not going to judge those who engage in animal exploitation, but we are going to be clear that animal exploitation is morally wrong. Now, people might take that as like a contradiction, but you are judging, you know, yeah, we're judging conduct, and we have to, and the last thing we want to do is make people feel better about immoral conduct. How is that not obvious? There's a big difference between encouraging people and saying to them, yes, I see that you're making an effort. I acknowledge that you're making an effort, but you're still harming, you're still engaging in conduct that really seriously, really seriously harms. And I'm sorry, but I'm not going to give you a pass on that. I'm not going to sit here and make you feel better about it. You can hate me all you want. You can think I'm a terrible person. I'll be the bad cop, if that's what you want to call it, you know. Read on, because Gary definitely addresses this entire situation that I'm trying to do in this podcast, and I probably should just post this article, but I have to vent, and this is my therapy, so I'm venting. Please, if anything, even if you don't read all the other stuff I posted, please read this article from Gary, because it does do it. One other quick thing that I wanted to say that struck me last night as I was making my delicious vegan dinner after I went through the day of the street stall, after I went over it, you know, things, you know, you go over during the day and you always think about what happened and what could I have done better, and, you know, always trying to be a better advocate. And one of the things I realized was one of the last conversations I had were with two young women, who one of whom was a vegetarian, had said that she had wanted to go vegan, but it was too hard. And then the other young woman said that she went vegan for about 2 weeks and then she went back. Now, first of all, I had two people say that who were vegetarians say that veganism was too difficult for them. And when I say why, in what way, I need to understand what was difficult about it. I always ask that because sometimes there are people who are like, I have this, you know, disease called Crohn's disease and my gut digestion is really hard to da da da. And those are things I'm not really like, I try to be careful with those because I'm not a medical expert, but I do know people with Crohn's disease, or I know one, I should say, who is vegan and who says it's terrible, but digesting anything is terrible. But it's a very difficult disease, or it could be some other kind of thing. And it's really difficult when somebody says to you, I got sick, I became anemic, and you sort of have to say to them, well, you didn't do it right, but you know what I mean, you got to be careful with that, because it's kind of like, you don't know what goes on with your body, and you don't know what's going on with them. But I hate those ones, because I'm like, oh, go and see a nutritionist who's vegan and who will help you, you know, care about animals enough to try harder, you know. I know, but it's hard to sort of say those things to in a way that is what I find challenging. When so I don't find anything else challenging, but if people try to give me sort of what seem to be legitimate medical things and they're like, no, I literally got, you know, and they're telling me this, I'm like, well, I could either say you're lying, or I could say that you didn't give it enough time, or I could say all these kinds of things, but I try to work with them. So I said to these people on two separate occasions, including one of these young women, I was like, what was difficult about it? Came down to it, finally we got through that it was difficult. It wasn't difficult at all. They like cheese too much. They like cheese too much. I'm not kidding. That was the reason. And I said, well, that's not difficult, isn't it? And they said, well, no. And I said, so you just like cheese. And then we started talking about morality, and we started talking about how preference, and I said, you're vegetarian, right? What if somebody said to you, I like steak? You're going to be like, oh, well, that's okay then. I understand. I was like, no, you know. And so anyway, but one of the women, these two young women, I loved women like them, because they were really interested in, because I talk too much and I don't listen enough, which is the biggest thing I have to work on as an advocate, biggest thing, and in my life in general. I felt like sometimes I can hear my own voice echoing in the air and I'm thinking, shut up, Elizabeth, let them talk, shut up. And I have a hard time doing that. But they really were listening. They were really wanting to listen. So I did try to give them opportunities to talk and ask questions, but they stayed. I mean, we're talking like 10, 15 minutes, which is really great. You do get that sometimes. And the thing that I found was that this woman, one of the vegetarian who decided to go vegan, but then she said she liked her cheese too much. We talked a lot about that, and I just tried to make it really clear to her that that's just not an excuse. Yes, you are. It's good that you made an effort, but it just isn't good enough. And, you know, there was never any hatred or anger, and I don't know what she thinks of me now, but I hope, like to think that she thought I treated her with respect, because I certainly intended, and I hope I had respect emanating from me, respecting her enough as an intelligent human being who could have a conversation and be told the truth. And I also brought in human rights, and I said, you know, if people bring up sexist comments, I speak against that as well, you know. But she, one of the things the other girl said, which was very interesting to me, was, well, I saw the film, have you seen the film Earthlings? And I said, yes, I have. And she said, yeah, I saw the film Earthlings and it was so horrifying, I went vegan for 2 weeks, but then I stopped. Now, I have to tell you, you would be, when I first did my very first podcast, I talked about Earthlings and how, and I did my first few podcasts and I was still recovering from the trauma because I was really traumatized by that film. And I really did think, because I was very new and I was very naive and I didn't really know what was going on, that I could just give that film to people and they will, and talk to them about veganism, which is what happened to me. I was talked to about veganism right up until I saw the film. So luckily for me, I already knew the solution, which not everybody gets. So that's another thing. But there are so many people I have met personally who have seen the film Earthlings. They've told me into my face, looking me in the eye, and they're not vegan and they didn't go vegan. Now that tells me a lot. It tells me a lot about my first experience of seeing the pig slaughter footage, which where what I did was I buried it in my mind and I never wanted to think about it again. I didn't want to talk to anyone about it. I didn't want to have any of the images about it. I just wanted it to go away. That's what happened when I saw that pig video. That is what happens when people see these films a lot of the time. So I just want to make it clear, I've met a lot of people who've seen Earthlings who haven't gone vegan, and I've stopped being shocked about it because I've seen it happen so often. So one of the things I wanted to say about that, and this is my final point, is that another good thing about doing vegan advocacy is, there are so many good things about doing vegan advocacy, but one of the things is that I reminded her of what she saw, just because she brought it up and the images came back. Now, I didn't want to torture her or make her feel, you know, hurt or anything like that, but it reminded her again of what she had seen and what she buried and what she tried to forget, because she brought up the film and she now is thinking about that again under the guise of veganism and the moral personhood of animals and the abolitionist approach, which is what she got when she came to me. And hopefully now, maybe if she ever thinks about those images again, she will be, maybe they will help her to go vegan. I don't know. But I thought that was really interesting, was that she had seen them. And so that's another thing that you do when you talk to people, is they might have seen some footage that they've kind of erased from their mind. And when you're talking to, and I'm not traumatizing them all over again. I'm not showing them the footage all over again. Although I did show them the picture of the ground up chicks, because the vegetarian was very genuinely curious about eggs. She genuinely thought there was no problem with eggs, and I genuinely understood that because I had done the same, and I showed her and I explained to her and she listened and she took it all in. And so I showed her those pictures. But I just thought it was interesting that this young girl, and then when I was making dinner, I was thinking, you know, there's something about that encounter. And I thought, oh yeah, that's what it is. She tried to bury those images and those memories of what happened to those animals. And now they're up in her mind again. And hopefully this time, along with this message of veganism, maybe she'll actually, it'll help her, because it certainly didn't help her the first time to go vegan. So one of the things you do when you talk to people is you might remind them of things that they have tried to forget. We live in a society who makes it very easy for us to forget what is going on. The packages of, as we know, the packages of meat, they do not have faces anymore. Their faces have been cut off them. They're just hunks of flesh and it's all packaged, and the milk is in these pretty little cartons with the smiling cows on them. So we do our best to help people forget. So one of the things you're doing is getting them to remember. Anyone who's ever seen anything online that they've buried that hasn't made them go vegan, and hasn't made them make any changes, or she went vegan for 2 weeks, but it didn't really, I mean, you can't really say I went vegan. She maybe ate a vegan diet for 2 weeks, but she certainly didn't go vegan. You might be the voice that triggers them to remember that again. And I don't want to do it in a traumatizing way, like I said, but, you know, you might get them to remember something that they have tried to forget in a good way, in a way that, you know, you don't want them to feel better. That's all I have to say. I'm sorry, but you just don't. Gosh, I've talked a lot. I really hope it made sense. I really hope it was helpful. And It really upsets me when I see it going on, because my heart sinks to my shoes when I see vegans making people feel better about continuing to use animals. And that is what welfareism does. That is what all this apologist does. That is what these other vegans apologizing for the vegan police and all that stuff does. That is what vegans who say, who try to turn it around and say, instead of us encouraging people to do more, which is what we're doing, when we're saying to them, yes, you know, we know you're vegetarian, but you need to be vegan, we're encouraging them to do more. That seems somehow to get overlooked. That instead of us saying, that's great that you're vegetarian, that's awesome that you're vegetarian, which is making them feel better about continuing to harm animals, basically. When I see all those things, it makes my heart sink to my shoes. And going on this post by Gary Francione, I'm not judging the people who's posted these things themselves. I'm judging the conduct. I'm judging it as damaging. And I know, like I said, that a lot of times that they're really sincere about, they really do think that it's the right thing to do. They're misled by comments from people who say, well, my family didn't push it on me and they weren't, they were, you know, compassionate with me, so I eventually went vegan, whereas if they hadn't done it, I probably would have resisted, and all these kinds of sort of scary things that people try to do to sort of psych us out of standing up for what's right. They try to scare us into being quiet, saying that it's going to be our fault if people don't go vegan because we spoke about veganism too much. There's that whole thing, what's it called, like reverse psychology and all these kinds of things. And I mean, I'm sure that there is, that this has its place, reverse psychology, but I think that being calm and rational and logical, you're going to reach more people. You might get some people who run away because you refuse to compromise, but I think that that's a really minority of people, because we have to remember that a lot of people really do care about animals. They're just misguided. There wouldn't be so much money spent on welfareism and making people feel better if there wasn't this need, if people didn't actually have some kind of conscience, they have moral concern. So we need to capitalize on that and be unequivocal about veganism. And you are going to take some slack, but you can. I've seen other people who are non-confrontational. In other words, they don't challenge, but they just say, "Go vegan, it's great," and that's what they say over and over. And most of the time, they don't get people don't really worry too much and don't attack them. It's just like I said, there's all kinds of different ways, but as long as you're unequivocal is the key. And if you're not comfortable with making people feel bad about consuming animals, please at least don't make them feel better about it. You know, don't do that. Okay. Anyway, so thank you so much for listening, and please do check out all of this. I've got so much links to add. I hope I remember them all. Thanks to all the wonderful people out there who are promoting veganism unequivocally and in the most beautiful, creative, nonviolent ways. And I learn from you all every day, and I really, really appreciate it. That's it for now, and I'll be back. Bye.